and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And this week is my co-host week. Yesterday I had Brett Roederman, who's a co-host a lot of times when I'm gone. And today I have the wonderful, astute Jen Uhas. How are you doing, Jen?
Fantastic. How are you doing, David?
Doing great. You having a good day? It's raining out. My lawn loves it.
Yeah, my lawn loves it. My sinuses love it. Sorry. Between
yes.
The pollen and the smoke.
Yeah.
As a lifelong allergy sufferer.
I'm the same way. I am the same way. You look for the big clean, some big, large raindrops. Ugh.
Well, and, you know, this week, I usually have a glass of water on my nightstand, right? Because I get thirsty. And you got a glass of water
right
here.
Me, yep.
And it's been hot, right? There are just not enough fans.
I know.
That's why the air conditioners are off the shelves.
How old is your home?
Oh, we've got a cabin, mm-hmm. And I think it was built in 2009.
But okay, it's a cabin, though.
It's a cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a crooked roof because it's been hit by a tree a few times. We had squirrels in there before. I mean, it's a cabin. It kind of breathes dust anyway, but we had the windows open and the fans going, and I took a drink of water and I tasted the smoke that was in it.
Oh.
I was like, oh, no.
You know, my home was built in 1952.
It's a cute little house.
Yeah, it's a one bedroom, though, and the bedroom's on the top floor. And so it gets really warm up there. You know, you don't have air conditioning, you got the fan going, and open up the windows. And
does that house have a basement? It's really
yes,
cute.
It has a great basement.
It looks
great
like classic, you know, Midwest. I thought it was the type
I
of thing that would have a
love that
basement.
Home. I love that home. I really do. It's just perfect for me.
I love the location. You have a great location.
Yeah, downtown, near downtown Fairbanks, silent, quiet area.
Quiet enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, over by the borough like that. It's like you have it's tiny like a neighborhood, but you could walk to everything.
Yeah. I've been a townie for over 30 years now.
Where were you before?
I lived on 2nd Street in Grail. Then I lived on 10th and 11th Avenue between Cushman and Lacey. And now I live over there off of off Brant Street and Boundary.
But so where were you before you were a townie, though, you said?
Westgate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's downtownie, you know, so anyway. But we are looking at a possibility of a mineral resource development, natural gas line, oil. And what are your thoughts on our preparation? Are we ready?
So you said that we could talk about anything I wanted to today, mm-hmm. And I have so many topics.
That's my rule.
Right?
That's my rule.
But yesterday, the Attorney General, Craig Taylor, was up here speaking mm-hmm. in the chamber, and we got on the subject again about the gas line. And we know that, you know, of course, we've all been like Charlie Brown with the football up here in Alaska, you know, thinking the gas line's going to happen. We've got the stickers that say, you know, we won't piss it away this time.
Piss it away, yeah.
Right? Are we ready with our workforce has really been on my mind. I gave a holler over to the Joint Pipeline Training Center, and they weren't available today because it was short notice. But, you know, we need to be having a larger community discussion about preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Flowline's ready to go. They're prepared. They want everybody to be prepared. But do we have enough capacity so that we, as Alaskans, can take advantage of this? Sure, we'll get revenue. For sure, we'll get royalties. Sure, we'll get these things. And there will have to be some degree of lower 48 workforce. We mm-hmm. know that, who will come up. But let's take some calls today to talk about planning and readiness and what we can do or gaps that we notice, because I know the industry is looking at this, But are we investing enough in our apprenticeships and our training programs at any level, starting in high school with, you know, the trades and things? But a lot of these jobs are going to require skilled labor that people haven't gone through the classes sometimes because...
Or the trades.
The job isn't there. I know when my trade was dental hygiene, and the school in Anchorage used to produce 16 dental hygienists each year. And there was input from the dentists one year that, you know, there aren't enough, because honestly, two dentists couldn't find people to work for them. So the school put out 18 people the year behind me. I'd already gone back and was helping them teach radiology. But two of those gals didn't find a job. It was like, well, the capacity is about 16 a year, and we realized that. Those two dentists still didn't have anybody hired, and two people didn't have jobs. It wasn't the capacity. It was those two dentists, right?
So, and it was those two people who were...
Like, nobody wanted to work.
Yeah.
So our training programs they only take as many people as can legitimately find a job when they graduate. So, of course, we aren't beefed up right now because the jobs aren't there, but we're going to have to add capacity if we don't want the brain drain that we've been and the train drain that we've talked about repeatedly up here, that we want Alaskans to be able to benefit from those jobs, raise a family, stay in our communities, come in from our villages and get trained and have a job and then be able to go back there. If we don't have the training capacity for them to enter, we won't be able to produce the workers. They'll all come from the lower 48.
Okay, well, let's look at the workforces that are going to be frontline. First of all, you have 375 plumbers and pipe fitters.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, with a pipe, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's just start there. You know, how are they feeling about this? That's my first question. I want to sit down with them.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at with your manpower capacity? They're all busy right now, so I can just surmise that.
Operators, they don't want to take the jobs at the state right now. The state isn't attracting as many qualified workers. They're getting enough experience to go work for the mine.
Mm-hmm.
They get in with the minimum experience, get their CDL, go somewhere that will pay better.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of your 302 operators are going to have to help on that. So you get
there's going to be a lot of travel cards coming up,
right? Teamsters and longshoremen with the trucks and trucking association, and then our haul road. We've had lots of discussions with Santos and the Alaska Trucking Association about trying to invest in our haul road. The state maintains it, but again, people aren't staying in those jobs real long. And then you know, the private contractors build it, but we've got to have the capacity on that road. We've got to have the people who move the dirt, like 302. We've got to have the people who drive the things that bring the things for the other guys to weld. We got to have the welders. Where are they going to come from if we don't have the... Will we need to add that to our school system? And then the way that's
Hutchison,
set up,
yeah.
Right? The way that's set up with school funding is this cycle of you have to capture the funds to invest the funds, and then you don't capture it until the thing's already getting built.
Well, okay, let's back up and project a time frame where this is going to happen.
Right? I mean, yesterday and for the last couple of months, we keep hearing like this is imminent, like something's going to be signed under the current federal administration, and something's going to be... Governor Dunleavy was saying last month at a meeting that... You know, this could get signed and get going within a couple of years.
Okay, say it's 2027, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you're gearing up already because of all the other activity up north.
But what does gearing up mean? I keep hearing gearing up. What
I mean
is permits.
With the workforce, the drilling, the exploration. The tying into the different
surveyors.
Willow,
yeah.
The you know the different projects. They're already, you know, look at Flowline's yards,
yeah.
And that pipe isn't hanging around.
Thank goodness.
So you have a 2 year time frame, and we're already at capacity.
At which capacity?
Well, okay, try and find like you said, a grader operator. Try and find someone who wants to work for the state DOT in heavy
equipment.
Long
enough to get trained, really.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what they're doing.
And over at the city, we're basically, our public works are our 302. We're finally in good shape. But try and find a heavy duty mechanic.
Oh, and heavy duty mechanics, they don't want to take the jobs at the state either.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a shortage. I'd have to say there is a shortage for the labor that would be required for this. So I'd be talking to the unions.
Yes.
What and the Department of Labor, State of Alaska,
yes.
Department of Labor,
yeah.
What is your plan? In 2 years, are you ready to go?
We need to get workforce development on here and have a conversation about that with, I know they're having conversations about that with industry.
Well, I'm going to let you know something. At the end of the month, I'm not going to be on the air for a few months. And you're going to be replacing me
oh,
a lot.
Okay.
So be thinking about this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will then.
And you know my rules. I have no rules for whatever guest you want.
You said I have to have fun.
Yeah. That is a rule. That is a rule. And there is another rule, which means I have to take commercial breaks.
Now a word for our sponsors.
And now a word from our sponsor. We'll be back in a moment.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Michael May of Wasilla, reeled in a 141-pound halibut and got up on the leaderboard in the Valdez Halibut Derby. When you go out fishing, I know you were on a overnight trip. Are you looking for the derby winner? Are you looking for meat? What's your objective?
Well, my objective on the overnight trip is to catch my first fish to fill the freezer, which to me is anything 30 pounds and up. And then after that, then I'm derby fishing.
All right, you're a little spoiled, right, when you say, I'm just going to hold out for a 30-pounder.
Yep. Yeah, it's not a problem out of Valdez.
What else did you reel up? I know people are seeing silvers way out there by Montague. Any fishing for those?
We did not catch any salmon. We saw some jumping. It was the lingcod opener, so we did really good on lingcod. We caught our yellow eyes and most of our black rockfish.
Did you time your trip so you would hit that opener?
Yeah, it was kind of planned, yeah. It's always fun to fish right on opening day for the lingcod.
Sounds like quite a haul. Did you hit your limit for all of the species?
I think we were one lingcod short of a full limit and just a couple rockfish short, but most of all of our halibut were pretty sizable. We had several in the 80 to 100 pound range.
How would you like to get a 28-foot Hughescraft with two Yamaha motors and an easy load trailer for $75? Impossible? Not if you buy a boat raffle ticket at ValdezAlaska.org. Tickets are just $75, and you could win this boat package worth $142,000. The drawing is August 15th. Get your ticket now at ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Storms likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Highs around 65, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, chance for scattered rain showers, lows level off around 50. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow, highs level off around 68. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Juhas in the studio with me here discussing, in 2 years, in 2 years, and a go is the gas line. And are we ready? And what is it going to take for us to be ready?
We know that we have training programs and apprenticeship programs. Mm-hmm. What I thought about on the break is ramping up in that area means, do we have the instructors? Have we fielded the applicants? Have we talked with industry, which I'm sure they will do, to see, you know, how many spots we need to fill and will they have jobs when they get out? But then one of the things I have been impressed with, I told you with, you know, Doug Tanzi over at IBEW, is making sure that the apprentices they're taking have the wherewithal to complete the program and the mm-hmm. time they're supposed to and function well in the field, you know, that he vets the applicants. So we need instructors for all of this. We have some brick and mortar up. We have the Joint Pipeline Training Center. We have the 942 apprenticeship program. 302 has an apprenticeship program. Plumbers and pipe fitters do. The carpenters do. Most of them do. But are the instructors ready, willing, and able? And then the capacity and quality of our apprentices. And, you know, the troopers have done something great. Maybe you went out, maybe you didn't. We had a welcome for the new 8 troopers that you know, Captain Spitzer set that up, and we did a little welcome barbecue and got to meet them and things.
They didn't invite me. Okay. They didn't want me recruiting their new troopers.
See, well,
or showing them how to really barbecue as persona non grata.
Okay. So that's, you know, they're just jealous plug.
Yes.
Okay. But some of our new folks that I met got poached from, they retired from the military, mm-hmm. or they came from the lower 48, already mostly trained, but mm-hmm. still had to go through the Trooper Academy. So exactly that, you know, what quality of apprentices, how have we fielded them? And we do this fielding to say, oh, you could come through these apprentice programs, but then what they want to know is it really happening? Am I going to have a job? You know, no matter which trade they're going into, it's like, are we ready?
Well, okay. A job is one thing. What about the basis of their life, housing?
Uh-huh. Yeah, the community capacity is a whole nut. Yeah, that's a whole separate.
Education.
Yeah. Will they move here when they're skilled?
Yeah.
You know, we've got to get them trained, and I'm hoping that we can capture as much of that market from local people who mm-hmm. deserve jobs and mm-hmm. and betterment and already live here so they can stay and not move away like we keep talking about. But if we're going to train all of them and attract skilled workers from other places who may stay because mm-hmm. we want them to stay and we want our community to thrive, that is the other half of the I think it's two separate discussions that need to happen in tandem. You know, the housing, quality of life, community support.
You know, when the pipeline started in 1974-75, Fort Wainwright was very low staffed. So a lot of the extra space out there, like Burgess Construction had space out on Fort Wainwright. The barracks they use for housing for construction workers. That's not available this time.
Right. Yeah, that's at capacity now.
Yeah, so.
Gladly, that's
yeah,
at capacity.
Yeah, and it's, I'm just going to say the word, it's going to be a boondoggle.
Well, the service industries, people, yeah. You know, you think about schools and you think about housing, you know, again, as a former dental hygienist, mm-hmm. Having medical services.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, you know, FMH, you're going to be severely impacted.
By more residents.
Yeah.
You know.
And people who travel through.
Mm-hmm. And are they going to do the, you know, I want as many residents as possible to be able to take advantage of this pipeline opportunity.
Yeah.
Rather than the two on, two off, going back to another state, taking that revenue and investing it in those communities, paying those property taxes, using those hospitality services.
And avoiding any income taxes here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's always been that way.
So how do we make it different? How do we capture that and take it full advantage? I think we've got to be ready with training for locals, mm-hmm. for residents.
Yeah.
Fairbanks is a hub community. A lot of folks come in from the villages to work fire and other things.
You know, here's another thing about it. The local residents will always be hired first through the different trades.
If they're qualified.
If they're qualified. The local trades, so many of my friends who I grew up with got jobs through the trades and have had wonderful lives, and now they're starting to retire and have had great retirements. So you just want to see that. You just want to see
exactly
treat a local
saying.
First yeah. and foremost.
Give someone from Hooslea a job before someone from Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Montana.
Or someone from
point.
Lathrop.
Yeah.
Or North Pole.
Yeah.
Or Delta. Or Healy. Or Fort Yukon. Or Minto.
Beaver.
Beaver. Healy Lake, where I grew up in the summer. Yeah. But you start there. And in today's job market, it's so open for a good worker. If you're a good worker.
If you have the skills, too. You have the work ethic and the skills.
Or you're trainable. Work ethic. Yeah. Work ethic. If you're trainable with a work ethic, you can do wonderful. You really can, because employers are looking for that. I mean, they're looking for that. If I was, you know, mentoring someone, I'd say, okay, you're 16 years old. You're going to go work at Taco Bell or McDonald's for at least a year to 2 years. You're not leaving this job. You're showing that you can stay in a work environment for 2 years at a fast food industry, and then you're writing your own ticket.
Well, when I see a good worker, mm-hmm. I immediately want to plug them in somewhere else. I won't say what establishment it was at, but it was somewhere at a restaurant. And
yeah.
the person who was running the floor, basically, kind of being the manager, was underage and had someone older that had to come and bring a beer to someone. And I was watching this person work while we waited for our order. And I said, "How much are you making here?" And she kind of, "What?" I said, Are you the manager? Well, no, I'm really just, you know, managing the shift. But here was someone who was probably 19 or 20, mm-hmm. and they had five adult, because I counted, and we had a follow-up. And I said, I want you to give one of these two apprenticeship coordinators a call. Like
yeah.
your work ethic,
yeah.
what you're doing, your situational awareness. I know where you can be at a job making four
Much
times
more.
What you're making.
Yeah.
You have the ethic and the situational awareness. Mm-hmm. So are the programs ready to receive those kind of quality candidates?
I do not know. You should know that.
No.
So they're not?
Well,
or you don't know?
I don't know. The place I'm working, you know, we staff the state. They don't have an apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
I have colleagues at the other, you know, trade apprenticeships. They'll call in. What's the number, David?
907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Here's something for you. In my last city budget, we opened up for 10 new positions for the fire department. Out of those 10 positions, we interviewed 34 people. Out of those 34 people, we only took four. And now what we're looking at doing is for the other five that are frontline firemen and paramedics or ambulance, we're not looking for anyone except now paramedics. No EMT level twos or threes, not firemen. We just want paramedics because 80% of our work is a call is an ambulance. And we always make sure there's at least one paramedic on every ambulance.
So do you have to do, just because we're on the radio and I'm mm-hmm. wondering, do you have to do something where you say you're speaking in your mayor capacity or your...
No, I'm not in the borough. I
so the city, okay, got it.
Yeah,
got it.
I don't have an ethics violation.
Okay. I was like, uh-oh.
But we have the thing here.
Danger
these are,
Will Robinson.
Yeah, yesterday with Brett, I made him say that.
Okay, got it.
But that's what our chief did. He only took four out of 34 applicants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saving the rest for paramedics. So he's slotting what he needs. Now, when you're a paramedic, you've
both
been,
my cousins were.
Yeah. What is boy, do they have a high mm-hmm. background. Mm-hmm. Highest medical background that is not a doctor, probably.
So they've gone through a training program.
Yeah.
The ones that are going to be selected for this. So how do we get our youth, our people who want to switch jobs? I know we've got the helmets to hard hats, and then we've got some programs with the folks on the base that I've talked to mm-hmm. about folks who've captured skills in the military.
I'd be sitting transfer. Out at the I'd be interviewing people out at the base who are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to stay here.
They have a program for that. They
yeah.
do. It's kind of an offboarding thing
okay.
with their options.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a break here. We're going to give you some bumper music, Sting, the cowboy song. I have no idea what that is, but since I have to sit in a purple room and listen to it, You can sit in your wonderful vehicle and listen to it. How's that for an attitude, Jenna? That's an attitude. Then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather. And we will be back. And here is Sting.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 668.
News of John Saucier. President Trump speaking ahead of multilateral lunch with the leaders of multiple African nations. The president answering a question about the investigation into former CIA Director John Brennan and FBI Director James Comey, whether or not they might be behind bars.
I know nothing about it other than what I read today, but I will tell you, I think they're very dishonest people. I think they're crooked as hell. And maybe they have to pay a price for that.
The FBI is investigating Brennan and Comey over alleged wrongdoing in the 2016 presidential election. In Texas, Kerrville Police Sergeant Jonathan Lamb talking about the actions of his officers. They evacuated over 100 people on the morning of July 4th.
They rescued people out of vehicles. They rescued people out of homes that were already flooding, pulling them out of windows. They entered water.
119 people dead in Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports that a Juneau man has been arrested following a vehicle fire at a campground near mile 30 of the Seward Highway early Saturday morning. According to the Alaska State Troopers, the Moose Pass Volunteer Fire Department was dispatched around 2 a.m. on July 5th to a report of a vehicle on fire at the campground. Later that morning, around 8 a.m., the vehicle's owner contacted troopers, reporting that the vehicle may have been stolen, which led to an investigation into the incident. Troopers say the investigation resulted in the arrest of Mark Penermora, 41, of Juneau. He faces charges of first-degree vehicle theft, second-degree theft, third-degree arson, and tampering with physical evidence. Penamora was taken to Spring Creek Correctional Center, where he is being held without bail, pending arraignment. And finally, Alaska State Troopers have confirmed that human remains recovered from Cook Inlet on Thursday, July 3rd, are those of David Meyer, a Nanilchik man who went missing last month while kayaking near Whiskey Gulch. Meyer, 62, was first reported missing on the night of June 11th after he failed to return from a solo fishing trip.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Summer means getting out, which means a visit to Six Robleys on South Cushman for trailer parts, RV supplies, light truck parts, even heavy-duty truck parts. And they can get you out on the road with confidence, whether it's a trip to Chitna or a trip down the haul road. Have peace of mind, thanks to Six Robleys.
Six Robleys, we keep the wheels turning.
The northernmost rodeo in America, brought to you by Gene's Chrysler Dodge Ram, is coming to Fairbanks for the toughest show on dirt. Feel the adrenaline surge as cowboys and cowgirls from all over the Northwest compete for the gold buckle right here in the Golden Heart City of Fairbanks. This is your chance to witness heart-pounding action with bull riding, barrel racing, team roping, shoot dogging, and more at the northernmost rodeo in America. Saturday, after the thrills and spills of the rodeo, get ready to be blown away by the electrifying live performances from the Texas Unlimited Band and the Kempeltier Band. Don't wait. Get your tickets now at Fairbanks Fred Meyer Stores or RodeoAlaska.com. Kids 6 and under free. It's an epic weekend filled with exhilarating rides, incredible music, food vendors, and more. Thanks to our partners, Chris Yoder State Farm, Mr. D's Pest Solutions, House of Fire Pizza, and the Greater Fairbanks Racing Association.
It's really hot this summer. How hot?
Hot enough to get a smoking hot deal with Denali Industrial Supply and Milwaukee Tools Red Hot July Sale. Stop by Denali Industrial Supply this July and check out the hot savings on the latest Milwaukee power tools. Impress your neighbors with your better chainsaw, drill, mower, or blower. And there's much, much more. These hot Milwaukee deals are only through the month of July, only while supplies last, and only at Denali Industrial Supply. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Jen Yuha. She'll be doing some sitting in for me here in August and September. and she will enjoy it. And
well,
so
wait a minute,
you.
Wait a minute. August and September.
Hunting season.
I know. August 10th, I caribou and sheep start.
I said some.
Some, yes.
Some.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Hopefully I go get a caribou and come back. And
how's your leg?
So I'm down to just having to wear the ankle brace.
Okay.
We'll see. I'm not
you know,
back in shape
your
yet.
Kung fu fighting has got to be put off to the side.
Completely.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I used to go to the Polaris boxing gym and do the boxing workout all the time in Anchorage. Yeah.
Okay.
For the Thursday night at the fights.
Yeah.
With Jerry the Matchmaker Miller.
Too funny. Boy, that brings back memories. Workforce development.
And workforce readiness. Pipeline readiness. I want to be ready. I don't want to squander it. You know, there's the...
There is no getting ready for something like that.
What?
There is no...
You did not just say that.
I did. No matter how ready you think you are, you're not going to be because of the amount of people it's going to take to start building it, to ramp up.
The failure to plan is planning to fail.
I know. And also the amount of housing that will be needed.
Mm-hmm.
And... until you need it.
Well, if we get locals trained, they're already here.
Yeah, but until you need the housing isn't going to be built pre pipeline.
Well, that's for the influx. But what about the people that are here? That was what I was saying is, you know, we know there'll be some
okay,
of that.
Yeah. But so you're looking at the training for the people out here that want to step up.
How do we be ready to facilitate that step up for our residents? Not
say,
just Fairbanks.
I would say this, the state of Alaska... the Department of Labor.
Yeah, we need to get them on.
Has to really step up. Yeah. They're you know, and you have a governor who's really pushing this. So I want to see what the Commissioner of Labor is doing right now. What's your plan?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in basically a year and 4 months, you're having a new election for a governor. And so what's the Department of Labor's plan?
Yeah, because that's the tier that I haven't been hearing enough about. We heard about the pyramiding. We heard about, you know, the federal administration. We heard about what the AG and the governor are doing to pave the way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now once the way is paved, the people will flood in to, you know, build it and they will come. Some of us are already here. How do we capture that for, you know, how about the kids that just graduated?
Mm-hmm.
You know, still deciding some of them. Some of them knew. They joined the military. They got a internship with a business, or they went into a trade program. Some of them haven't decided yet. They don't want to go into even a two-year program unless they're sure the job is going to be there. And the two-year programs or longer for these apprenticeships aren't taking you in. If you haven't already been captured as the people who are ready to step up, like we said, with the work ethic and the situational awareness, we can teach you the skills. But are you, which one are you going to pick if the jobs aren't there? You're not going to pick plumbing and pipe fitting when the job isn't there right now. You're gonna pick IT,
and it's 4 years to be termed out
mm-hmm.
from an apprenticeship to a journeyman.
Mm-hmm. And just like a college degree, they'll need those too. But you know, even a surveyor is not going to go through a survey program if they aren't going to be needed.
The surveyor is an engineer.
Yeah,
you got to have a PE. Yeah.
But so you're going to spend 5 years in a program if it really isn't happening again. If it's really Charlie Brown with the football on the gas line again.
You're not. So we're talking in hypotheticals, 2 years. But everyone seems to think that this time it's happening.
So if it is really happening and it looks that way, are we ready as Alaskans to go to work on that? Or is all the jobs going to come out of Wyoming?
As of today, no, but no.
We have time.
We have the opportunity to get more ready.
Mm-hmm. Some of the opportunities...
on something like that, you're never ready, right? But you're as ready as you can be.
Yeah, but we can get as readier as we can, right?
Yeah.
Like any camping trip.
As readier as we can.
Right? I know. I did that on purpose. I was being silly. But, I mean, you don't just take off on a road trip and say, well, you can't really plan for these things. You get mm-hmm. the cooler, and mm-hmm. if you forgot ice, you stop at the store for ice.
Yeah.
We got to get the rig ready
mm-hmm.
to go on this trip.
You got to have your vehicle tuned up, ready to go.
Right.
You got to have all your fishing tackle, fishing gear ready to go. Gun has
to
be
sighted
in.
Are the tires 10 years old, or do we have new tires on it?
Yep. You know? Has your plane had its annual?
Yeah. Ours just did.
Good.
Yeah. But we need to, that projection We need to field the students.
Okay, so I would be also meeting with the pipeline training.
Yeah, I gave Angie or Amy a call this morning.
Yeah,
and it was short notice.
But. And say, you know, you've scheduled these people that you do this anyway. Have you thought about in 2 years what your capacity is going to be then?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because are we attracting, if we have the students, they have to be taught. So do we have enough materials? Do we have the instructors lined up?
And how many do you have in a class now? How long is a class?
Mm-hmm.
And do they have make-ready jobs when they've graduated, going out into the field?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, talking to industry, Santos, all those mm-hmm. guys, was it Farlane? What is it?
Glen Farn.
Okay.
they're going to be up here, I think, on July 22nd. I'll give you more detail about that.
Well, and Alaska Trucking Association has had a lot of discussions. Oh, we have a call.
Yeah.
Yay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Jen Uhas, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Hi there. You were talking about housing availability, and yesterday, I guess it was, you were talking about, or the day before, you were talking about housing shortages. And I have kind of an obscure question for you, but it's got my head scratching, and I thought maybe you might have a clue. Basically, I was reading an article on Must Read Alaska, and the title is called Alaska Socialists Get Go-Ahead to Circulate Petition for Anchorage Inspector General Ballot Measure. But in the midst of that article, below it said something, and maybe you have an explanation or what this is, because I'm really curious about it. It was talking about the group that they were talking about, the socialist activist group. Let's see what now. I lost it here. See this?
I saw the headline, and I didn't read that article, but I saw that headline pop up.
This paragraph says, this is the same group that recently insisted that a municipal golf course be converted into a tent city for vagrants and that short-term rentals be banned in the city. And that really got my attention. What does that mean? Do you have any idea why?
No, is that like an Airbnb thing or something?
Yes, it is. It's rentals less than 30 days.
Okay.
It's Airbnbs.
And why would anyone want to ban short-term rentals?
Well, was the hospitality industry missing bed taxes or something? They didn't want private people doing it?
No. Oh. In my office, every day I get a new license for a Airbnb.
Okay, so that's capturable.
And they pay 8% rental tax.
Okay.
Yeah. But what happens is, right behind my house, there was a 1955, they built this 10-plex. And it hadn't had anything done to it since the 80s. New owners came in. They redid everything. I mean everything. Took it down to its basically its shell.
So you
put it all back together.
To the assessor, it's worth more?
No, it's right down the street. The assessors walked by it. Yeah, it's right outside their door. But it's not apartments anymore. It's one great big Airbnb. Every day at City Hall, a lady in finance does business licensing. She brings me down a Airbnb license to sign every day. Every day.
So Randy's asking us, though, why people in Anchorage did something. And gosh, I don't know why they do anything down there.
I can't explain Anchorage. And if anyone can, please come on the show. Call in.
Randy, you're asking us to explain Anchorage's thought process, and I don't get it.
There is no thought process. It's just a random whatever. I'm going to be polite to Anchorage today for the most part.
But what are your thoughts, Randy, on...
He's not on the phone anymore.
Oh, okay.
But he can call back.
He can call back. I want somebody to chime in on readiness, pipeline readiness.
Well, you know, it's... You're never ready until it's here. And you don't know what you need to be ready until it's here.
But we do know from talking to the Alaska Trucking Association about the Hall Road, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm going to go back to that.
What about warehouse facilities?
Right.
Try and get a warehouse.
They got a few more in Nenana right now.
That's Nenana.
We're a hub community here in Fairbanks.
Okay.
There's cheaper
but,
dirt
but
down
it was
there.
Interesting, you know.
Dirt is cheaper down there.
Up until about 2014, we had lots of warehouse space. Guess what happened in 2014? Marijuana industry.
Oh, right.
Took it all. I mean, just bam. There it went.
I am glad to see non-empty buildings.
You know, hey, good for them. You know, good for them. Nothing wrong with that.
I hate driving past empty buildings, empty spaces.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much that can't be crafted overnight.
Right.
That's going to take a couple of years to gear up.
But we can log it. Yeah. You know, we know we need highway workers.
And then what is the gear up time frame? And then what is the gear down time frame? So two up, two down, mm-hmm. just like our last one was.
Mob and demob.
Yeah. Fairbanks, with that, we're going to take a phone call. Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, Dave, it's Craig. Hi, Jen.
Craig, what are you up to? You ready for your laundry house gang stuff?
I am. I'm just heading over that way, stopping to grab a bite. But I just wondered, I didn't know if you talked about it. Has anybody seen in Fairbanks yet? They're supposed to be here midweek. The bloodstained men protesters from Anchorage.
Greg, what are you talking about?
There are 8 or 10 of these people, California-based protesters. They're wearing white pants with a big red stain, right? You know where. And they're protesting, of all things, circumcision. These are funded by somebody outside.
This is a family program, Craig.
I know. I'm trying to give the public a warning because you're going to see them on the street corners. And they're wearing all white with a red stain. It's unbelievable.
Well, the good news and the bad news is the same. They are afforded their right of protest nonviolent. Simple as that.
And I support everyone's free speech, even when I disagree with it. Otherwise, you don't really support free speech.
But thank you for the warning, though. You know, I'd be looking at them saying, what in the heck is that?
Well, I'm going to put on my Trump mask and join him with a no tax on tips sign there.
Craig. Okay, buddy, you take care. Talk to you later. Right. Bye. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Going camping is the simply satisfying, relaxing way to enjoy the Alaskan outdoors. Plan to get the most out of your experience with a visit to Frontier Outfitters. Check off your list of essentials, such as tents, sleeping bags, and cookware from your favorite brands, such as Mountain Hardware, Kelty, Slumberjack, Coleman, Jetboil, and more. Garmin GPS. Protect your eyes with sunglasses by Oakley, Maui Jim, and Costa. Your successful camping trip begins at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Sound. It's all around us. Whether the laughter of children, the sounds of your favorite wildlife, or the rhythm of your favorite song. Sound brings our world to life. The Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center wants to remind you that their certified doctors of audiology are here to help hear those sounds. And whether it's a medical condition that requires treatment or a simple fitting of a hearing device, Dr. Jackson and her certified and licensed staff will help you hear more. Come into the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center for testing to hear what you've been missing. For more, visit fairbankshearing.com.
It's Toyotomi time at the Woodway. Woo-hoo! Toyotomi's newest lineup of heaters comes standard with Wi-Fi capabilities. Control your home's comfort remotely from your smartphone. Now, until July 31st, get up to $250 back when you replace your old monitor with a Toyotomi heater.
Yeah!
Whether it's new construction, servicing your current model, or upgrading your old heater, come to the Woodway. If heaters in July make you sweat, cool down with a Toyo air conditioner. Caring for your family, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Coming to the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds Saturday, August 2nd, it's Thompson Square.
Are you gonna kiss me all night?
And James Otto.
Darling girl, I just got started loving you.
This is a stripped-down Singer in the Round style concert, Saturday, August 2nd at the Tanana Valley State Fair. It's Thompson Square.
This life would kill me if I didn't have you.
And James Otto, being brought to you by The Spur, the official after-party spot. Get your tickets now at ericksonevents.com or at the fair website.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy this afternoon, with storms likely. High of 65, winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 50. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 68, overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Jen Uhas in the studio here. We're talking about proper preparation prevents piddly poor performance.
Onomatopoeia.
The six P's. Proper preparation prevents piddly poor performance.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled pike.
Exactly. And the proper preparation is for the 2027-2028 beginning of a gas line, we'll call it.
Right.
And what is the infrastructure you need in place, both in workplace development, housing, services that are needed? And we're starting to talk about those.
If you have a thought, workers.
If you have a thought, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and give us your thoughts.
Yeah. We want to hear from you out there. Are you part of a training program?
Looked at one?
Looked at one. Yeah. Haven't decided which one. Why? Yeah. Is it because you didn't see the job availability when you're done?
You know, I went and I spoke it last summer at a labor 942 graduation ceremony.
Oh.
And I told them.
They really do a good job over there.
Oh, they do a great job. And I told them, you are at the right place at the right time with everything coming on. Work hard. Get as many certificates that you can get, as many qualifications as you can get. Stay in the interior for your job through 942. You're in a great location. Congratulations.
Yeah, Danny and Mel select the applicants and put them through. It's like boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the test, even to get in, they've got to shovel these rocks in a certain amount of time. It's mm-hmm. grueling.
Yeah.
But those people have jobs when they get out.
Yeah.
And if more jobs are going to open up, we're going to need more applicants and more instructors to train them.
So then, you know, it's going to be interesting, the construction contracting.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Because, that's the, you talked about housing, and I talked about highways, but it isn't just building the gas line.
No.
There will be jobs associated with, if we need more clinics, more hospital capacity, mm-hmm. if we need, we know we'll need more housing and affordable housing that's built properly. Mm-hmm. Those are all more jobs that more people will need skilled labor mm-hmm. to produce.
Food.
Mm-hmm. Truckers bringing mm-hmm. that food up here. People making that food.
Yeah. Local distribution companies.
Mm-hmm.
Local labor.
And
local
warehouses.
Jobs.
You're right. If the warehouse is filled up and they're gone now, that's not capacity that's capacity we used to have.
Yeah.
It's not capacity we have. We get that with emergency management planning. If there's a disaster, where will we put the things? Where will we put the people?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. There's a lot of empty spaces that I'm glad are filled now, but they're filled now. We don't have that at our disposal.
Ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Jen Uhas, and your name is?
Randy again.
Hello, Randy again.
Since you said I could call back again, so.
I lied.
Do that.
We appreciate you,
Thank
Randy.
You, Randy. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was just going to say, I got here in 1974 and have been here ever since for the purpose of working on the Alaska pipeline. In other words, a lot of people will, if we have a gas line, will come up for that gas line. And I remember I was staying with my uncle in his house for 2 years until I got my own little mobile home and lived in that. But I remember my uncle opened up an extra rental room in his house, as I recall. And so that's a way of absorbing a whole bunch of people coming in temporarily or...
You're right. A lot of people will probably do that, even if it is temporary, and they'll capture some income.
But what I was wondering... I worry about onerous government regulations. In other words, if I wanted to make some extra money, I could rent some part of my house out for somebody in a makeshift way. But I would want to have the freedom, the American freedom, to choose or not choose who I want to come into my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to be able to say to them up front that this is just a week-by-week basis, and I have the right to change my mind and ask you to depart. And without that freedom, then I'm just going to, no, I'm not going to rent to nobody because it's too much of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have such laws constricting the freedom of the Alaska homeowners?
Well, you're a realtor, David. What does the Landlord-Tenant Act say?
It's open. You can rent by the day, by the week, by the month.
How about kicking somebody out like that really bad movie?
If you're a hotel, a bed and breakfast, it's immediate. Simple as that.
Okay.
If you're a month to month, you got to give a 7-day notice if they're not paying rent.
If you're an Airbnb and they booked you for 2 weeks.
Yeah. If they're doing something wrong, out.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Okay.
If you're
so Randy does a week to week type of thing, yeah, even if it's just verbal.
If you're a month to month, then you got to give 30 days notice. If you're week to week, you know. I've never operated a week to week system.
But I would
think you would put that under, if you were astute, a week to week would be an Airbnb.
Right.
And I'd be putting it at you. I'm an Airbnb. You're renting this week, then you're renting another week, but you're doing the paperwork every week.
Could he still trespass some? Like, say, you know, I'm thinking immediately of that movie with Michael Keaton.
Well, okay, you know, you're. I'm not a lawyer, nor am I pretending to be one on TV.
Or the air.
But you don't have to worry about zoning, because everything in the world in zoning allows an Airbnb.
Okay. Yeah,
and,
so you could
and you have the right. Life, you have the right to evict anyone for reasons that you deem unacceptable, such as not paying your rent, being too loud, being too messy. You don't have to renew the lease.
Threatening behavior.
You know, you don't have to take. You know, but you have to be consistent. You know, if you don't like Italians like myself. Well, first of all, you're not a smart person, but you can't be discriminatory. Simple as that.
So it can't be for the reason that you're Italian, but it can be for the reason that you're offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm rude, obnoxious, loud. You know, I'm partying till 3 a.m.
Is this theoretical?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm partying till 3 a.m. You know, I'm not paying you the rent. I'm accosting you as you walk in.
And didn't something change downtown to open up more living space on ground floors or something?
Not yet.
Oh.
They're looking at wanting to.
Okay.
You know, I've had about a bunch of people talk to me about that, and that's only going to be in a very specific area. That's
okay.
basically between First Avenue and, say, Sixth Avenue and Noble Street and the Steese Expressway. Because what you have there is a lot of vacant lots that are small. And there's zone central business district. And central business district, you cannot have housing on the ground floor. But in a 5,000 to 7,000 square foot lot, you're not going to put in a office building. So that's, for whatever reason, this is the misnomer down there. It's bad zoning for that area.
It's kind of weird. Like if I had an office building, like it couldn't have. I mean, I know like at the News Miner has that nifty loft on top of it, and
the
stuff.
News Miner is not zoned central business.
No, district. Yeah. I'm just saying, like you see buildings.
But that's
you
a second
buildings,
floor. Yeah.
and people
unless
live
you're a
upstairs.
Hotel, unless you're a hotel.
But the idea that you can't like have a little space with its own door downstairs.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Strucker used to walk to work all the time. I used to see him walk past the borough. Right. It's like. He doesn't want to go up five flights of stairs.
Randy, we got about 2 minutes. We're going to say goodbye to you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye. So we got about a minute and a half left there, Jen. How do you want to end this up?
Well, you usually, I still want to talk about being ready. You usually ask what everybody's doing on the weekend, but it's like a
what do you got planned for the weekend, Jen?
This week, I get to go down to Big Lake with a friend of mine from 25 years. We're going to pick up her puppy.
Ah.
She's got a little black lab puppy down there. We're
going to
have puppy breath the whole drive back.
Lots of wee spots.
Maybe, yeah. You know, I think lots of snuggling and snoring.
Yeah.
Little puppy snorts.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you? You got the Golden Days stuff going on up here.
That's next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Going to enjoy that. Monday I have the head of Chamber of Commerce in the studio with me. We're going to talk about Golden Days.
Okay.
And then.
But what about this weekend? What are you doing this weekend?
I'm going to go to the Saturday night production at the Riverfront Theater, the murder mystery.
Oh, yeah, that is funny, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that.
Are you in it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to be. They might ask for someone who wants to be murdered, and I might, you know, get thrown up there, but you never know. Fairbanks, you have a great day. Jen, great having you here.
Thanks for having us.
I will see you on Friday, Fairbanks.